the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
A very warm welcome to our worship. It's good to have you here or online. You're welcome. Just one or two things to say this week. Firstly, I think it has to be a big thank you for all the cards, the good wishes, the kindnesses that I've been shown in the last week, and of course for those who came to the party on Friday night. I think we can say I'm 50 now. Should we do it all again next year? Anyway, just really heartfelt thank you. Few other things just to say, to remind you that Remembrance next Sunday, we start here at 9:30, so we can be at the War Memorial for 11 o'clock. After the service this morning at 12, we'll be burying the ashes of Pauline Keenan. So some of you will know Pauline and wish to come to that. We'll just be in the cemetery at 12 o'clock for that short service. Just to mention about the Christmas coffee morning, or rather the Christmas so much more than a coffee morning, which is on Saturday the 4th of December from 10 till 1, we could do with some gifts for Tombola, sweets for the tuck shop, toiletries, new and unused, £1 items for the £1 stall, jigsaws with all the pieces, and cakes on the day, please. If you can offer any of those, do see Joan Williams or Sue. I'm sure we'll be delighted to see you, and I'm sure you can work something out. I think that's everything.
Christ calls us to share the heavenly banquet of his love with all the saints in earth and heaven. Knowing our unworthiness and sin, let us ask from him both mercy and forgiveness. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring you his pardon and peace, now and forever. Amen.
Glory to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, you long for the world's salvation. Stir us from apathy, restrain us from excess, and revive in us new hope that all creation will one day be healed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Hebrews, chapter 9.
Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once and for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it was appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending their nets.
I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Words that are both inspirational and, if we're honest, a little unsettling. Why unsettling? Well, because it all seems so sudden, and I wonder whether I would have done the same. I'd like to hope so, but I know too my caution, my need of security and love. Now, of course, I can explain a bit the style adopted by the Gospel. I know it was written with urgency and that the word immediately occurs 40 times in Mark's Gospel, but would I leave everything I knew and follow Jesus? So it's one of those readings I need to live with, a challenge to my sometimes over-cautious heart. But I find some consolation in the reading from the letter to the Hebrews, not so much in terms of content, more context. And here are words with less urgency than those of Mark, but are also about following Jesus. The words of the letter can sometimes seem strange read in isolation. So it's helpful to remember that this book was likely written for priests of the temple. For they were priests like the fishermen who had encountered the Lord and wanted to follow him. But what of their past life? And so the writer is helping them. Priests, of course, were important people who led the worship in the temple, experts in the rather bloodthirsty business of animal sacrifice, offering blood that was not their own, as today's reading put it, to God. And this language of sacrifice became that which helped them make sense of who Jesus was, describing him as the one who has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. It can sound very strange to us, but as I've said, I'm not so interested this morning in the content, more the context that the priests were having to relearn who they were, what their job was. And it's this sense of relearning that draws the two readings together for me. For though in the Gospel there is a sense of the immediacy of everything, something that should challenge us, for they left their nets and followed him, they too had to relearn who they were, if they were to fish for people. But what's all this got to do with us? And here this sermon takes what might be deemed a strange turn as I turn to Yoda, the small green Jedi master teacher in the Star Wars films. Now, in The Empire Strikes Back, he says to Luke Skywalker, a young man filled with zeal and determination, training under Yoda to become a Jedi who's going to save everything, he's just frustrated by his lack of progress, by his inability to be the Jedi who he thinks he should be. And Yoda says to him, you must unlearn what you have learned. You must unlearn what you have learned. And that's what the priests of the temple had to do to make sense of who Jesus was for them. That's what the fishermen who left their nets had to do too. And we are not so different. And Yoda's words seem particularly topical as the leaders of the world continue their work in Glasgow, trying to imagine a different future for the world, trying to unlearn what we have learned, what we have come to depend upon, what we have determined as being normal, and allow a new future to emerge. There are hopeful signs, but there is a way to go. Whether we are prepared to sacrifice the lifestyle we in the West have lived for so long, unlearn perhaps our dependence on wealth, and relearn when enough is enough. And each of us has our part to play in addressing the issue of climate change, something we've reflected on a bit at St. Mary's recently, whether it's eating less meat or flying less or recycling, etc., etc. Can we unlearn what we have learned about how we can live life together for the good of all? Yet Yoda's words are, of course, still strange to us in some ways. Why would we unlearn what we have learned? And yet if we think of recent experience, this language isn't quite so strange to us, not least when it came to coming to church. Just think of those weeks when we could not gather and yet we learned new ways of being together. I was filled with admiration for those who sometimes reluctantly and rather frustratingly, when they weren't trying to throw them out the window, learned new skills, learned how to use iPads, learned how to watch church on telly. And beyond the church, we have unlearned some of what we thought important, the running around and busyness that often defined our lives, and settled into a better pace. So it seems rather sad to me that some of that has been lost. Life seems rather busy again, just try and cross Selby Road. But this is more than pandemics, for as we think of our own lives, especially as we get older, something that has been in the forefront of my mind lately, we do a bit of unlearning as we let go, or at least try to let go of what we once held important, just as the priests in the temple had to do. Their identity was no longer bound up with the quality of the sacrifice, the words they said and how dramatically they said them. Instead, they were reconciling the old ways of sacrifice with a new way offered by Jesus. And just as the fishermen worked out in the days that followed their call, who were they to be? So we do the same. We learn and we relearn through the seasons of our lives. And it's often those landmark moments in life, a birth or a death, a wedding or a birthday, that can help us contemplate our lives and ask how we are to live well. These moments remind us that we sometimes do need to unlearn what we have learned. For we have sometimes learned that which does not enrich our lives, but diminishes it. We must unlearn and learn again who we are in Christ. And then perhaps what this journey is preparing us for, and this seems rather apt on the Sunday after we've celebrated All Souls, is for when that invitation comes to let go of this life and be drawn into the next, maybe then we shall immediately take Jesus' hand and follow him. I hope so. So maybe Yoda was onto something when he said we must unlearn what we have learned. As we think of the fishermen who followed Jesus, of the priests of the temple who had to make sense of who Jesus was for them, and then also for us as we live our years. Because we do sometimes need to let go of some way of being or living and learn something new. Let's hope and pray that whatever is before us, together we learn to live well. Amen.
Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist?
We believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again?
We believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world?
We believe and trust in him.
This is the faith of the Church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
God alone, my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. Let us pray. High Priest of all, we rejoice for all who've been called to serve you in the holy place. At the end of this season of All Saints, we give thanks for those who, like Simon and Andrew, James and John, answered your call to proclaim the good news. We pray for all the saints who followed in their ordained ministry down the ages, through to Matthew, Rosemary, David, and all priests today. We pray for the church around the world. This week for the Anglican Church in Aotearoa, in New Zealand and Polynesia. We pray too for the work of women in your church. This week the church remembers Marjorie Kemp, whose visions have inspired devotion for centuries. And we pray for the work of the Mothers' Union around the world, especially in our parish of Whitkirk. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, your call confronts us with the need for repentance. As the COP26 summit continues in Glasgow, forgive our slowness to face up to the consequences of our actions, our slowness to repent and turn down a better path, our slowness to consider the needs, lives, and security of others. Grant wisdom to the delegates attending, that they might reach lasting, sustainable agreements for the good of all peoples and do what's right for God's creation, building a world that fits for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, you drew working men into your company. Bless all in our community who live and work among us. We pray for the residents of Woodman Street. May all who work be repaid fairly, so that no one in employment need starve. bring justice on those who rob and extort. And if our riches increase, help us not to set our hearts on them. This bonfire weekend, we give thanks for those who work to protect us. We pray for all emergency services, especially ambulance and fire crews who've been working tirelessly. And as we as a nation remember the foiled plots to blow up Parliament, forgive us the divisions that breed hatred and violence today. Strengthen all who build bridges to unity and peace, and soften the hearts of those who seek to cause harm in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you came among human life and shared in its joys and sorrows. Bless all who are struggling with the strains of care, those caring for loved ones, those professionally caring for the sick and infirm, those receiving care. From our parish, we pray for Pat Hyde, Beryl Laverick, Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Alan and Mavis Cross, Christine Oates, Thomas Hadley, Jeff Blowers, Patrick Crowley, Janet Lawson, together with those in long-term care, Mary Metcalf, Doreen Hoare, Margaret Burton, George Brown, Jennifer Mode. On God rests our deliverance and our honour. Our mighty rock, our refuge is in God. Lord, in your mercy. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. From our community, we remember Frederick Thackeray and Bill Godson, who've recently died, and Eileen Webster, David Schofield, and Joyce Schofield, whose anniversary is fall at this time. Holy Spirit, guide us in our efforts to repent and turn away from sin. Lord Jesus, bless us in our mortal earthly lives as we eagerly await for your coming a second time. For God alone, our souls wait in silence. Our hope is from him. He alone is our rock and our salvation, our fortress, who shall not be shaken. On God rests our deliverance and our honour. Our mighty rock, our refuge is in God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
To crown all things there must be love, to bind all together and complete the whole, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Will you come and follow me?
To you we come, Father of lights, with angels and saints, where heaven and earth unite. May Jesus meet us in the breaking of the bread. Amen. Amen. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should always sing of your glory, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For you are the hope of the nations, the builder of the city that is to come. Your love made visible in Jesus Christ brings home the lost, restores the sinner, and gives dignity to the despised. In his face your light shines out, flooding lives with goodness and truth, gathering into one in your kingdom a divided and broken humanity. Therefore, with all who can give voice in your creation, we glorify your name, forever praising you and singing. Praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross, bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation. We proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory.
Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people, gather us in your loving arms, and bring us with Blessed Mary and all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Blood of Christ shed for us all. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, in this holy sacrament, you give substance to our hope. Bring us at the last to that fullness of life for which we long, through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all peoples. Amen. Christ, our King, make you faithful and strong to do his will, that you may reign with him in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.